Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, October 30th, 2024. Section A. County and City Partner on $6 Million Road Projects by B.K. Richter. Midland County Commissioners received several presentations on road and infrastructure projects within the county Tuesday morning. The partnership between the City of Midland and the county was highlighted with approximately $6 million in reimbursements for 16 roadway projects. Gabe McClelland, the Engineering Services Director for the City of Midland, told commissioners that the city-county partnership has evolved over the years and has produced results. "We both have Vision Zero initiatives," McClelland told commissioners. "We both have a comprehensive safety action plan that resulted from that initiative, and we have shared goals from that initiative." "The goal of safe streets," McClelland said, "is something that both the city and the county are targeting. We have been successful recently in getting some grant funding for that, and so we will keep doing that as well." McClelland explained that his department works with a lot of local property owners, and that sometimes presents a bit of a barrier when it comes to the acquisition of the right-of-way. "Our council adopted a strategic plan, and everything that we do aligns with that strategic plan. Specifically, the goals that are outlined in that strategic plan," he said. "One of the biggest things that we talk about at City Hall in our department is keeping up with growth. It's become even more important because our city is very fast growing, so sometimes developing the infrastructure needed for that growth is difficult." McClelland acknowledged that in some places, growth has been challenging. "In this presentation, we have identified six different locations of or 16 roadway projects where both the city and county have partnered in some way," he told commissioners. "We don't always use our partnership to develop new roadways. We also reconstruct old roadways. One upcoming project is Occidental Parkway. Occidental Parkway is the only east-west arterial roadway that will link to future roads or link to Fairgrounds Road," he said. "It is a future arterial roadway, north-south corridor there. And so that's important. It helps distribute traffic in that area." Another project is the extension of Fairgrounds Road from Loop 250 to Mockingbird Lane. "This is one of the areas where we acknowledge that we need to catch up with growth. And it's been a good thing to work with the county to help get this done," McClelland said. "Sinclair Road and State Highway 158, which is very close to the future Costco development, were also cited. There's been some other residential development that's taken place there, so truck bed volume has increased, and there's some safety mobility issues to address there as well," McClelland told commissioners. Another growth site is Avalon Road, and McClelland explained that the new Legacy High School will be built there. "We also have a citizens collection center that will be built right at Business 20 to future Avalon Road," he said. McClelland said, "When you look at Northwest Midland, it's a fast-growing area. It shows the extension of Wadley to the west. It shows County Road 1250. It shows Sinclair. What it shows is the pieces of the puzzle coming together in a very fast-growing area," he told commissioners. Other projects included signal swaps or reimbursement for a signal from the county to the city in taking over the maintenance of a signal light. Additionally, pedestrian improvements at the Midland County Courthouse were also addressed. Step into the future. MISD offers the community virtual walkthrough of schools ahead of their 2028 opening. By Kesley Salinas. MISD hosted a community viewing for Midlanders to walk through the virtual renderings of the future Legacy High School and Midland High School campuses Tuesday afternoon. MISD opened the Midland High School library for community members to get the chance to virtually experience the new campuses. Wednesday, Midland Independent School District and Pfluger Architects will take the TINA experience to Legacy High School, where Midlanders can walk through the renderings from 1 to 5 p.m. According to Pfluger Architects, TINA stands for Test, Immerse, Navigate, and Analyze, and is a tool that the designers use to see their renderings in a new way. TINA really brings all of the renderings that we released a few weeks ago to life, said Lindsay White, Chief of Communications at MISD. TINA allows community members, students, and teachers to really step inside the new high schools and see what they will be like before they actually open in 2028. TINA allows users to view renderings in a panorama form, but also allows users to virtually walk through the campus and see the renderings up to scale. MISD focused on three main components in the 2023 bond program, including safety and security enhancements, addressing growing enrollment, and addressing aging facilities. When designing the campuses, we really had to think about the goals of the district, said Casey Moreau, project designer at Pfluger Architects. We had to think about the goals of the community and how they were going to work together and how we were going to collaborate to make this a usable space for everyone. White added that every detail of the schools was thoroughly thought out and discussed with user groups such as teachers, students, district departments, nurses, school counselors, and more. We just really want to make sure that we are addressing the needs of our current students and teachers and also looking out for the next 50 to 60 years, White said. We are thinking about what education might look like in 50 years, and we are trying to make sure that we are addressing those needs as well. The district also wanted to make sure that the new schools addressed enrollment growth. The campuses will be designed with a core capacity of 4,200 students in common areas like your cafeteria, library, gyms, auditorium, and other areas that are a little more difficult to expand should enrollment grow, White said. Classroom spaces have been built for a student body of 3,800 students, but they're designed in a way to where if we need to expand in the future, there will be easy additions. With the new campuses, MISD will also be able to expand and upgrade their career and technical education opportunities. White said that the district talked to CTE community partners to ensure they are building the appropriate spaces to optimize student learning. Having the CTE facilities and all the programs on display throughout the entire building has been an important part, Moreau said. It's a well-received concept and idea that we typically don't get to do because welding and things like that are always in the back of the school. It makes for an interesting atmosphere and can spark interest in students who might not know about a career pathway. I would love to invite the community to come out and step inside those high schools with this virtual experience, White said. We want the community to be able to visualize what these campuses will look like when they open their doors in 4 years. And we want to make sure that they're alongside us with every step of the way throughout the bond project. USPS urges Texas voters to mail ballots early, by Trevor Hawes. The U.S. Postal Service is urging ballot-by-mail voters to send their ballots as soon as possible. Texas has two deadlines for ballots by mail. They are due by 7 p.m. on Election Day, Tuesday, November 5th, if a carrier envelope is not postmarked, or by 5 p.m. Wednesday, November 6th, if a carrier envelope is postmarked by 7 p.m. on November 5th at the location of the election, according to the Texas Secretary of State. The Postal Service says to not wait until the last minute. If you choose to vote by mail, please mail early because every day counts, it said in a press release. USPS says that in the first 3 weeks of October, it has been delivering inbound ballots from voters to election officials in about one business day, and that 98.3% of inbound ballots were delivered within 3 days. We continue to recommend that it is a good common sense measure for voters who choose to mail in their ballots to do so before Election Day and at least a week before their election office needs to receive them, the Postal Service said. Vote tally through Monday. More than 30% of all registered voters have voted through Monday, with a total of 30,390 ballots cast. Monday's count saw 4,173 in-person votes, according to Midland County Elections Office data. Centennial Library led the way with 1,146 voters, followed by the Elections Office, 1,109, Fairmont Park Church of Christ, 979, Cogdill Learning Center, 486, and Manor Park, 453. Midland County has recorded 29,611 in-person ballots so far. Early voting began August 21st. The ballots by mail tally rose to 779 Monday. As previously reported by the Reporter-Telegram, this number can fluctuate because ballots are pulled when voters need to make corrective actions, like putting signatures in the correct places and including required identification numbers that may have been mistakenly omitted. Early voting locations. Early voting in Texas runs through Friday. Election Day is Tuesday, November 5th. Here's where you can cast your ballot early. Elections Office, inside the County Annex Building, 2110 North A. Until Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Centennial Library Meeting Room, 113, 2503 West Loop 250, until Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Cogdill Learning Center, Classroom 4, 201 West Florida, Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Thursday and Friday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Fairmont Park Church of Christ, Classroom 2, 3818 North Midland Drive, Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Thursday and Friday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. The Village at Manor Park, Sparks Great Room at Margaret Cowden Clubhouse, 431 Manor Village Circle, Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Thursday and Friday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Odessa College to host Veterans Hiring Event next week, by Mella McEwen, oil editor. With Veterans Day a couple of weeks away, the Texas Workforce Commission is focusing on veterans, transitioning military members, and military spouses. The agency will host its 13th annual Hiring Red, White, and You event statewide, November 1st through 22nd. In the Permian Basin, the event will take place at Odessa College's Sports Center, ICA Gym, 201 West University Boulevard, November 5th. Veterans will be given priority from 11 a.m. to noon, and then the doors will be open to the general public from noon to 3 p.m. Willie Taylor, Chief Executive Officer of the Commission's Workforce Solutions Permian Basin, said the region's low unemployment rate prompted the decision to open the event to the general population. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by telephone, Taylor said there are quite a few employers participating in the event from a wide range of industries: food service, oil field services, oil and gas operators, law enforcement, county and city government, health care, education, and more. "Our job market is user-friendly," he said. "It's friendly to veterans. We offer work in education, health care, electrical, automation, manufacturing." He said there are a number of veterans in the region. "When I looked at the data, I was shocked at the numbers. It's pretty impressive, and the area's strong job market is sure to draw those transitioning out of military service." The event in Odessa is among the first of more than 30 expected to be hosted statewide by the Commission and Texas Workforce Solutions in partnership with the Governor's Office, Texas Veterans Commission, and the Texas Medical Center. Since 2012, these free hiring events have connected to more than 24,000 employers with 130,000 job seekers, including 47,000 veterans. Texas is home to 1.5 million veterans whose skills and experience are crucial contributors to the state's economic success, said TWC Chairman Brian Daniel in a statement. TWC's veterans programs, including Hiring Red, White, and You, provide Texas veterans with resources designed to enhance their success in the Texas workforce. Midland County declares November 14th as National Adoption Day, by B.K. Richter. Midland County Commissioners unanimously approved a proclamation declaring November 14th, 2024, as National Adoption Day during their Tuesday meeting. Ellen Griffith, a child protective court specialist, discussed the state's shift from removing children from foster care to working in-home-based services. According to Griffith, the number of children in foster care has significantly dropped, but she said there is still a need for more foster families. "You have probably been aware over the last 4 or 5 years, the state has moved from removing children to foster care to more of working in home-based services, and that's been ongoing," Griffith told commissioners. "If you get the numbers from Midland County, you will see the numbers of children in foster care has significantly dropped over the last few years as a result of that, and across the state as well. Right now, we only have between 40 and 50 children in foster care, which is the lowest that I have seen it." Griffith says that despite the lower numbers of children within the foster care system, Midland County still lacks enough foster families to provide adequate support. "There is a coalition in the area working with all the foster care agencies trying to develop more homes because there are always some children who do have to go into foster care," she advised commissioners. "Because of the large crowds that are expected to show up for National Adoption Day," Griffith said, "St. Anne's Youth Center has been ideal as an auxiliary courthouse location. Commissioners authorized the use of St. Anne's Youth Center for the event on November 14th. Midland County recognizes the importance of giving children permanent, safe, and loving families throughout their adoption, the proclamation said. More than 4,000 children in Texas are waiting for permanent families, including children from Midland County. To help these children find permanent, nurturing families, the local courts of Midland County will open their doors on National Adoption Day, November 14, 2024, to finalize the adoptions of local children and to join other organizations to celebrate all adoptions. Life tributes for Wednesday, October 30th. Terry Lynn Fieseler. Terry Lynn Fieseler passed away October 25th at his home in Midland. He was born in Fort Worth, January 3rd, 1954, to Paul Reed and Avis Dale Fieseler. He married Linda Grell in 1972. Excuse me, 1971. Surviving him are his wife, Linda, daughter, Kayla Decker, and husband, Jake, and one grandson, several nieces, and numerous cousins. He was preceded in death by his parents, Paul Reed and Avis Dale Fieseler, his in-laws, Eugene Henry and Norma Grell, the son, Michael Paul Fieseler, and a brother-in-law, Don Kinnison. Funeral services will be held Friday, November 8th at 11 a.m. at Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with lunch for friends and family following at the branch. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Make-A-Wish Foundation, LHS Football Booster Club, American Cancer Society, Home Hospice of Midland, or a charity close to your heart. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Larry Merle Mercer. Larry Merle Mercer, 70, of Midland, passed away October 24th. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, November 9th, at Colonial Bible Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
This is Mikey, and I'm reading from the Midland Times for the month of October 2024. Thriving United debunks myths to ensure continuation of public support, by Kim de la Peña. Thriving United in Midland supports individuals in addiction recovery by providing essential resources, housing, and peer-led community support. The nonprofit organization, led by Jen and Pat Brown, connects locals in need with tools to rebuild their lives, including recovery programs. According to Thriving United, misconceptions have created confusion about the organization's funding, including that they do not need donations or sponsors. Donations and sponsorships are critical to helping individuals across West Texas, Brown told Midland Times. We are a 501c3, not a foundation, Brown said, noting that the organization is not privately funded. Another misconception is that Thriving United plans to eliminate its 12-step program, a long-standing recovering method. Thriving United connects people to the resources that best fit their needs, Brown said. As a result, she clarified, we're not replacing the program. The organization also offers transportation for employment and housing options, including for women and children. Brown emphasized that all candidates for housing must be sober and in active recovery. We are not a treatment facility, but a resource to help people find the right path to sobriety. We meet you where you are, she said. The Midland Times recently toured Thriving United's new facilities, which have expanded to two locations on Illinois Street in downtown Midland. The former Midland Reporter-Telegram building is being remodeled to house the family and peer recovery programs, while the adjacent Old Trade and Treasures building will serve as a dayhab center for homeless adult Midlanders. Security is a priority. With an in-house security officer and close operation with the Midland Police Department, although police assistance is rarely needed. We have a peer-to-peer system. They see how others have transformed their lives and want it for themselves, Brown explained. Our goal is to show West Texas what recovery looks like, Brown said. We are so blessed to witness firsthand the true results of recovery, lives transformed, and families reunited. Zoo Midland, highlighting positive wildlife experiences, conservation, and education. By Delisa Brown. Zoo Midland is set to become a brand new zoo in Midland to connect visitors with wildlife in ways not always seen in zoos. The project, which will break ground this fall, will work to promote a deeper understanding of the balance between people and the natural world, according to zoo officials. A key aspect of the zoo's design is to bring the back of the zoo to the front, allowing zoo visitors the ability to witness activities typically reserved for the staff. The approach allows staff to share the many facets of caring for animals not commonly seen or known to the guest. Guests will have the opportunity to observe animals during feeding times. They will also see husbandry training, a rare glimpse into the daily care and management of the zoo's inhabitants. Zoo officials say the idea is to offer a fun, interactive, and informative experiences to highlight the unique attributes of the animals and ways to preserve spaces for them. By allowing visitors to witness the daily care of the animals and within the zoo, we are turning the behind-the-scenes into an educational experience, said Zoo Midland Director Jason Green. It helps visitors understand the complexity involved in animal care, especially the unique needs and attention required to maintain their health and well-being, he said. Zoo Midland will feature a range of exhibits and species curated to reflect both local and global ecosystems. The zoo plans to house animals native to West Texas and North America, alongside a diverse species from around the world. Educational programs, including guided tours and interactive exhibits, will be offered to deepen the understanding of animal behavior, habitats, and conservation efforts. NOAA expects above-average temperatures for Midland County this winter, by Midland Times. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, has released its winter weather outlook, indicating that a cold and snowy winter is unlikely for Midland. According to NOAA, temperatures are expected to be warmer than average this winter, with precipitation levels well below average across much of the southern United States, including Midland County and all of Texas. Warmer than average temperatures are favored from the southern tier of the U.S. to the eastern Great Lakes, eastern seaboard, New England, and northern Alaska, said NOAA. These probabilities are strongest along the Gulf Coast and for most of Texas. The agency also said that the greatest likelihood for drier-than-average conditions are in states bordering the Gulf of Mexico, as well as in Texas and southern New Mexico. The seasonal drought outlook for Midland, which runs from October 17th until January 31st, 2025, anticipates drought conditions developing in Midland County and the greater Permian Basin. Extreme drought conditions are expected in the far south, along with much of the Great Plains and portions of the Rocky Mountains. NOAA's Climate Prediction Center will provide an update on November 21st. The Preserve engages local entrepreneurs at Founders Blend. By Delisa Brown. The Preserve took center stage at October's Founders Blend, presenting their 173-acre development project to a community of business owners, investors, entrepreneurs, and local supporters. Held once a month, Founders Blend offers a platform for new businesses to share their visions and gain insights from experienced professionals. Adam Cañes, a co-founder of The Preserve, presented the team's innovative plans for retail, office spaces, parks, and dining establishments. Cañes talked about their commitment to enhancing Midland's landscape, fostering community growth, and addressing the challenges of the project. The Preserve is set to become a family-friendly environment with retail, office spaces, dining options, parks, and hike and bike trails. The development will also feature a central water feature, expected to span 15 to 16 acres, with restaurants and shopping along the edges. The road to realizing the preserve's vision has not been without challenges. One of the hurdles the team faces is attracting national tenants to Midland. National brands have very certain demographic boxes that they have to check off. If they're interested in the market, then we have a shot, said Cañas. The team is focused on both showcasing Midland's potential to national brands and prioritizing local businesses for initial development phases. Cañas also said the preserve has already secured a key component for the project, Zoo Midland. We know that Zoo Midland would wind up being a major regional attraction, he said. The zoo is expected to become an anchor for the preserve, offering visitors a synergistic experience of dining, entertainment, and outdoor activities. The project's timeline is set to unfold over the next 10 years. The first vertical phase, which includes restaurants, office spaces, and retail, is anticipated to be completed by mid-2026. However, the entire development will evolve based on demand, as Kanye said in an interview with Midland Times. The bigger it gets, the more complex it gets, and the more we are at risk. But the bigger the victory if we win, Kanye said. Spotlight on Zane Villa, Programs Director at Teen Flow Youth Ministry, by Kim de la Peña. Zane Villa started as a volunteer at Teen Flow Youth Ministry before being named Programs Director 2 years later in the spring of 2023. Villa initially connected with the youth through basketball and helping with transportation after programs, according to Executive Director Jaina Clark. In his current role, he is responsible for developing and teaching the annual Bible study curriculum, scheduling weekly motivational speakers, planning events and camps, and mentoring student servant leaders. Villa's work is to create an engaging environment for the youth, in alignment with Teen Flow's motto, entertain, then educate. His preparation of lessons and commitment to ensure that the youth are both entertained and spiritually nourished are key to the program's success, according to Clark. Each week, Villa and his team welcome the students into a space that is filled with activities, conversation, and music. Beyond his teaching role, Villa brings a unique skill set to the team. He is a Christian rap artist who performs under the name Zane Darango, a role model to the youth he mentors. This year, Villa produced Teen Flow's first music video, Make It Out, which involves the students and highlighted the ministry's mission of leadership and transformation. According to Clark, Villa's consistency as a leader on and off the stage inspires the teens, especially the young men who look up to him as a role model. Villa's influence extends beyond creativity. He has spearheaded the Teen Night Show, a new program featuring community guests in an interview-style setting. He also established Wednesday discipleship meetings for servant leaders, 10 boys and 10 girls who serve on teams that run the program's activities. The meetings offer spiritual guidance and life skills training and give the students leadership roles within the ministry. Villa's presence has coincided with significant growth in the program. His engagement with the teens has deepened their connection to the ministry. According to Clark, the atmosphere Villa and his team have cultivated allows students to feel safe and supported when addressing struggles like anxiety, depression, and academic challenges. I wanted to become who I needed for youth that reminded me of me, Villa said. Villa's goal is to develop young leaders who will continue the work of Teen Flow. He is currently furthering his education in psychology and theology to enhance his contributions. He also coaches youth basketball. According to his colleagues, Villa's commitment to the students extends beyond program hours. They say his joyful energy and dedication make him an invaluable part of the team. Teen Flow's leadership say they see Villa as an essential figure in the ministry's ongoing success and future growth. To support Teen Flow Youth Ministry, donate online at www.teenflow.com/donate, or for more information, visit their website at https://www.teenflow.com. Savor Midland. MD Pizza continues to serve homemade pizza to Midland, by Delisa Brown. MD Pizza, a staple in Midland since 2005, has long been known for its variety of pizzas and its famous breadsticks served with homemade ranch. Originally opened by Matt and Diana, whose initials form the MD and MD Pizza, the local pizzeria is now owned by Drew Austin, who has brought new life and growth to the establishment. Austin's connection to MD Pizza runs deep. "I started working at MD Pizza during my sophomore year of high school," Austin said in an interview with Midland Times. "It was my very first job, and Matt and Diana treated me like family. They cared about my grades and made sure I was doing well in school." In 2021, after 15 years of ownership, Matt and Diana approached Austin with an offer to buy the business. "They didn't want to sell it to just anyone," Austin said. "They wanted someone who would continue their vision without making big changes." At the time, Austin was working toward purchasing his first home, but according to Austin, the opportunity to own the business that had been such a significant part of his life was too good to pass up. When Austin took over, MD Pizza was doing about $200,000 in annual sales, but it was struggling to maintain consistency. "The first few months were tough. Sales were down, and we were on the verge of closing," Austin said. "I knew the product was good, but the inconsistent hours and closures established by the previous owners were hurting us. That's when I knew I had to rethink how we were doing things." Austin made several changes to turn the business around. He focused on improving the quality of ingredients by attending food shows and conventions. "I took a list of toppings I wanted to improve, and I looked for the best options out there to create a premium product," said Austin. These efforts paid off, with sales jumping to $67,000 in 4 months after becoming owner. Technology also played a major role in MD Pizza's transformation. Austin invested in two $50,000 pizza ovens that drastically reduced wait times from 2 hours to 10 minutes. "The old oven was great, but it couldn't keep up with the volume we were seeing," he said. "The new ovens allow us to maintain quality while increasing our output." Other technological advancements included a pizza dough stretcher and a third-party call center that handles customer orders, allowing MD Pizza employees to focus solely on pizza production. "Now, all my labor is focused on making pizzas, and that's led to our success and growth," Austin explained. In partnership with Rustin Hicks, founder of Texas To Go, Austin further streamlined operations, and MD Pizza continued to expand. Today, 3 years after Austin took ownership, the business has grown to nearly $950,000 in annual sales, a significant increase from when he first took over. "Now it's time to copy and paste this model and grow MD Pizza even more," Austin said, hinting at future plans. Part of that growth includes a rebranding. MD Pizza will soon be known as Midland Pizza Factory, a nod to its roots while signaling the next chapter of expansion. Despite the growth, Austin remains committed to ensuring each customer has a positive experience. "Even if someone has a bad experience, I'll go above and beyond to make it right," Austin said. His dedication to customer service is reflected in online reviews, where many customers note how Austin personally addresses their concerns. As MD Pizza continues to evolve, one thing is clear. Austin's passion for the business and commitment to quality have made MD Pizza a thriving part of Midland's restaurant scene. Construction Timeline for Diamondback Energy Athletic Complex by Midland Times. The Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, TDLR, has disclosed the construction timeline for the Diamondback Energy Athletic Complex. According to a filing with TDLR, the $34.7 million athletic center, designed for residents in the Permian Basin, is scheduled to commence construction on October 21st and be completed by December 12th, 2025. The facility will cover 114,787 square feet and will be situated at 5501 Duville Drive. Earlier this month, Midland Times reported that Midland Athletic Syndicate, MAS, a nonprofit organization formed by a group of Midland parents, conducted a groundbreaking ceremony. The project receives support from companies including Diamondback, Permian Resources, Pioneer, Chevron, and ConocoPhillips. The complex will include 6 full-size basketball courts that can be converted into 12 volleyball courts and a multi-sport turf area for indoor soccer and other sports. Austin Campbell is identified as the point of contact for Midland Athletic Syndicate in the filing. Jacob Martin, an Abilene-based design firm, managed the architectural aspects of the complex. acquisition of renewable energy company to have impact on Midland, according to CEO, by Midland Times. A Dallas-based holding company specializing in emerging technologies, including artificial intelligence, AI, blockchain, and renewable energy, is currently in discussions with a Houston-based renewable energy firm. According to a press release from BB Advanced Technologies, CEO John B. Billingsley announced the company's intention to acquire Protus Power. He emphasized that this acquisition would significantly impact West Texas. "I know the potential of renewable energy, both for our country and for the small landowners and communities we work with," said Billingsley. "Protus Power is just the type of company I have known and grown in the past, and we are perfectly positioned to make it a very profitable company for our investors. In the near term, this very substantial business will provide a multi-billion dollar boost to the Texas economy from Lubbock to Midland, across West Texas and down to the Gulf Coast." Billingsley also heads Tri-Global Energy, identified as one of the largest renewable energy companies in the United States. The Protus Power portfolio includes approximately 15.5 gigawatts of utility-scale renewable energy projects featuring battery energy storage systems and solar projects. The company plans to develop $3.3 billion worth of 5 gigawatts of renewable energy projects over the next 4 years and lists ERCOT West, MISO LA/MS, MISO Illinois, MISO Texas. Local events. Events calendar. Monday, October 28th, Café con Pan. When? 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Where? 208 South Marienfeld Street, Midland. Recuérdame Bonito, Día de los Muertos Concert. When? 6 p.m. Where? Legacy High School Auditorium, in Midland. Tuesday, October 29th. Entrepreneur interview with Dr. Damon Kennedy, featuring Michael Shapiro. When? 9 a.m. Where? Carrasco Room at the Scarborough Student Center at Midland College, main campus, at 3600 North Garfield, Midland, Texas. San Jacinto Junior High Orchestra Sonic Fundraiser Night. When? 5 to 8 p.m. Where? 1109 North Midkiff Road, Midland. Intro to AI, The Beginner's Guide to Artificial Intelligence. When? 6 to 8 p.m. Where? 3107 North Big Spring Street. Hocus Pocus Trivia Night. When? 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Where? Tall City Brewing Company at 3303 West Golf Course Road. J.R. McNutt Live at Pi Social. When? 7 to 9 p.m. Where? Pi Social at 203 West Wall Street, Suite 104. Free Professional Clothes Shopping Day. When? 7 to 9 p.m. Where? 3420 Thomason Drive. Wednesday, October 30th. Gurren Trunk Show. When? 10 a.m. Where? Kathy Eastham Fine Jewelry at 2101 West Wadley Avenue, Suite 31. October 2024 Member Luncheon. When? 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Where? Bush Convention Center at 3114 Sunburst Avenue. Premier High School / Midland Fall Festival. Trunk or Treat. When? 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Where? 4200 West Illinois Avenue, Suite 140. The Hopeful Few Live at Pi Social. When? 7 to 9 p.m. Where? Pi Social at 203 West Wall Street, Suite 104. Thursday, October 31st. OLG All Saints Festival. When? 6 to 9 p.m. Where? Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine at 1401 Garden Lane. Thursday evening dining and live music. When? 6 to 10 p.m. Where? Cafe at the Gardens at 3300 North Fairgrounds Road. Tall City Beer Run Halloween Edition. When? 6:30 to 10 p.m. Where? Tall City Brewing Company at 3303 West Golf Course. Friday, November 1st. Tea and Tarot Social Evening. When? 7 to 8:30 p.m. Where? Earth, Body, and Soul. At 333 North Midkiff. Kansas, The Band. When? 7:30 p.m. Where? Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. At 1310 North FM 1788. Driving Miss Daisy. When? 7:30 to 10 p.m. Where? Midland Community Theater at 2000 West Wadley Avenue. Saturday, November 2nd. Walk with a Doc. When? 9 to 10 a.m. Where? Midland Memorial Hospital at 400 Rosalind Redfern Grover Parkway. Saturday, November 2nd. Fall Festival 5K. On Saturday, November 2nd at 10:15 a.m., join the second annual Fall Festival 5K and 1 mile at Fiddlesticks Farms, 5610 East County Road 120. Presented by Midland Athletic Company in partnership with Make-A-Wish West Texas. This family-friendly race takes participants through the scenic Fiddlesticks Farms, offering a perfect fall experience. Each race entry includes a free day pass to Fiddlesticks Farms, valid for either November 2nd or 9th. With a later start time to accommodate families of all sizes, this is the most active fall festival in West Texas. Don't miss this festive and charitable event. Sunday, November 3rd, UTPB Dia de los Muertos Concert. On Sunday, November 3rd, starting at 5 p.m., join the UTPB Dia de los Muertos Concert at Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center at 1310 North FM 1788. From 5 to 7 p.m., enjoy free admission to lobby exhibitions featuring mariachi music, raffles, food trucks, and a community altar. The closing show begins at 7:30 p.m., featuring performances by the UTPB Mariachi Orchestra and Ballet Folklorico. Tickets for the concert are $10, offering an evening filled with vibrant cultural celebrations and live music in honor of Dia de los Muertos. Food trucks will be available on site. Midland College awards record $1.3 million in Fall 2024 scholarships by Midland Times. Midland College awarded $1.3 million in scholarships for the fall 2024 semester, marking a first in the institution's history. This achievement sets the college on course to exceed $2.5 million in scholarships for the entire 2024 to 2025 academic year. Our scholarship program is a testament to the generosity of our community and our unwavering dedication to student success, said Midland College President Dr. Damon Kennedy. By removing financial barriers, we empower students to achieve their goals, ensuring a brighter future not just for them, but for our entire community. The college emphasizes creating an environment where student outcomes are comparable to top-performing colleges nationwide. Students report high satisfaction and success post-graduation, supported by comprehensive student services addressing both academic and non-academic needs. Each dollar invested in a student has the potential to reshape their entire future, said Director of Scholarships Meredith Walker. Providing the support students need to achieve their goals is a privilege and a critical part of ensuring their success. A major component of Midland College's scholarship offerings is the Legacy Scholars Program. Funded by four local foundations, Abel Hanger Foundation, Scarborough Foundation, Helen Greathouse Charitable Trust, and Chaparral Foundation, this program offers full tuition scholarships along with leadership training and community involvement opportunities. For further details about Midland College scholarships or the Legacy Scholars Program, interested parties are encouraged to visit the MC website. Four former rebels inducted into the Lee Legacy Wall of Honor. Legacy High School's Lee Legacy Wall of Honor has inducted four new members as part of this year's class. According to a Midland Independent School District news release, this year's inductees include 1973 graduates Paula Turney Edwards and Dr. Karen Jane Scott. Edwards had a 25-year teaching career at Lee High School, while Scott worked as both an emergency room physician and a family practitioner with a special focus on obstetrics, delivering a total of 5,667 babies in her career. The news release also states that the Honorable Judge Marvin Moore, who graduated from Lee High School in 1980, has served as the judge of Midland County Court at Law, number 2 since 1995. Senator Kevin Sparks, another inductee who graduated from Robert E. Lee High School in 1982, has had a 40-year career in the oil and gas industry and serves on the boards of High Sky Children's Ranch, the Texas Public Policy Foundation, and the Natural Gas Producers Association. The honor aims to highlight former students and faculty who have left a lasting legacy at the campus. The school's initial class was inducted in 2010, and this year's class raises the number of recipients to 39. Inductees are chosen by a committee made up of the principal, community members, staff, alumni, and a student representative. To qualify for the distinction, candidates must be former graduates or staff members of the school who graduated at least 15 years prior to nomination and have made significant contributions to society.
DPS offers Halloween safety tips. As Halloween approaches, the Texas Department of Public Safety, DPS, would like to remind all Texans to prioritize safety while enjoying the festivities. Whether you are trick-or-treating, attending a Halloween event, or traveling the roads, staying alert and taking precautions is essential. We know many Texans, young and old, will be out celebrating Halloween this year, DPS Director Stephen McCraw said in a news release. We ask that you take some simple safety measures, like staying visible, traveling in groups, and remaining alert so that everyone is safe and the Halloween remains an enjoyable night for all across the state. Halloween safety tips for drivers. Don't drink and drive. Make alternate plans if you consume alcohol. Be aware of a driver. Don't assume children are paying attention to your vehicle. Buckle up everyone in the vehicle. It's the law. Slow down. With a number of children walking the streets on Halloween, reducing your speed is necessary. Use caution when going through neighborhoods and other trick-or-treat locations. Eliminate distractions while driving, including the use of mobile devices. Texas law prohibits the use of portable, wireless devices to read, write, or send an electronic message unless the vehicle is stopped. If you're using a navigation device or app, have a passenger operate it so you can keep your eyes on the road. Drive defensively, as Halloween can have additional challenges. Keep the Texas Roadside Assistance number stored in your phone. Dial 1-800-525-5555 for any time type of assistance. The number can also be found on the back of a Texas driver's license. Halloween safety tips for trick-or-treating. Ensure costumes are bright and reflective, or add reflective tape or darker costumes to darker costumes as they help drivers see trick-or-treaters at night. Use face paint instead of masks that can obstruct a child's vision. Walk on sidewalks and utilize crosswalks. Carry glow sticks, flashlights, or wearable lights to increase overall visibility. Use soft and flexible accessories such as pirate swords or wands that are not sharp. In the event you get separated, have a prearranged meetup location. Travel with adult supervision and stay in familiar neighborhoods. Discuss the importance of only visiting well-lit houses and never enter a stranger's home or car for candy. Make sure children know the phone number of an adult and how to call 911 in case they get lost. After trick-or-treating, take all goodies home for an adult to inspect before eating, and never consume any item that doesn't have a wrapper. Know the neighborhood. Visit the Texas Public Sex Offender Registry, which includes a map to where the registered sex offenders reside in a given area. DPS would also like to remind Texans about the iWatch Texas program, a critical resource for reporting suspicious activity within the community to help prevent dangerous attacks. Tips can be reported via the website, the free iWatch Texas iOS or Android mobile app, or by calling 844-643-2251. All reports are confidential. For information on how to use iWatch Texas, you can view this on a how-to video. Remember, iWatch Texas is not for emergencies. If there is an emergency, call 911 immediately. This week, DPS will be launching a series of Halloween safety tip videos across the department's social media channels. Pfluger introduces 100th piece of legislation to prevent federal bureaucratic resistance against elected administrations. Congressman August Pfluger, Texas 11, has introduced his 100th piece of legislation, the Stop Resistance Activities by Federal Employees STRAFE bill, a bill designed to prevent career federal bureaucrats from actively resisting the directives and policies of a presidential administration. The legislation aims to uphold democratic governance by ensuring the federal employees abide by the decisions of the American people, as voiced through their elected president, a news release said. Career unelected bureaucrats cannot be allowed to undermine the agenda of any future president, said Congressman Pfluger. We must ensure that the network of federal employees that brazenly carried out resistance activities against the first Trump administration is not unleashed again. The STRAFE Act outlines a framework to mitigate resistance against federal agencies, ensuring a more cooperative and compliant federal workforce. The provisions of the Act are as follows. Training for federal employees mandates specific training for federal employees that clearly outlines prohibitive activities intended to obstruct or undermine the directives of the sitting administration. Penalties introduces penalties on par with Hatch Act violations for federal employees who engage in resistance activities against the administration. Independent complaint process establishes an external complaint reporting process, bypassing the traditional inspector general channels within agencies to ensure a more transparent system. Reporting to the executive office of the president requires periodic reports from each federal agency to the executive office of the president, providing updates on complaints and status of actions taken against those engaging in resistance activities. According to the release, the STRAFE Act addresses concerns that have arisen since reports of coordinated resistance by federal employees surfaced during the first Trump administration. These activities, documented by multiple sources, included withholding information from appointees, deliberately slowing policy implementation, insubordination, and leaking sensitive information to the media. This will prevent numerous career bureaucrats from deliberately opposing directives, particularly in agencies such as the Department of Justice and the Environmental Protection Agency, their release said. El Noel Art Museum hosting Dia de los Muertos event. The Ellen Noel Art Museum invites the community to the 15th annual Dia de los Muertos free community event from 1:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. November 2nd. Bring the whole family to learn about the customs and traditions of this special holiday and find out about current educational programs at the Ellen Noel Art Museum. Enjoy the art stations and activities for all ages. Pop out Ofrendas, created by Compass Academy Spanish students. Visit with the community partners, including the ECISD Early Childhood and Social Studies departments, and more. There will also be an exclusive art tech talk with artist Guadalupe Hernandez from 3 to 3:30 p.m., where he will discuss his exhibit Con Quinaro on view with the museum until December 1st.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.